If you want to become financially independent, come to my seminar. Let me show you how to make the fortune you have always dreamed about.
Ready? Go!
What happens if you are named
in Nelson Rockefeller's will?
You get rich quick.
Stand on the line, play the game again. Everybody's gonna lose and I'm gonna win. Gonna get rich quick.
Hello once again, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Get Rich Quick with Josh
and Noel,
right here on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Right here
on Radio Free Brooklyn. You can hear us every Saturday at 5 p.m. on Radio Free Brooklyn, and we're out on iTunes every Wednesday.
Yeah, I set it to load up basically on Tuesday nights at midnight, so Wednesday you can get our last show.
That's very exciting.
Or any of our shows before that.
Yeah, it's all archived. It's all sitting there waiting for you. At this point, this is show number 8.
I think so.
Right?
And yeah,
so
something like that.
By the time you hear this or haven't heard this and want to hear this, the first 7 will be on there, so you can really get, you can binge listen.
Yeah, you can basically go through Get Rich Quick College.
Mm-hmm. It is like a university.
Yeah.
A university of richness, of riches, of richness.
Of both.
Yes.
Riches and richness and luxury items.
Luxury items. This is a kind of by the time you all hear this, it will be a few weeks past when this actually happened.
2.5.
But 2 episodes ago, Noel mentioned that he...
I have a small part in the first episode of Show Me a Hero, which is on HBO, just aired a couple nights ago for the first time.
That would have been Sunday, episode 1.
Episode 1.
And
I am Frank McGovern.
Frank McGovern. 1 suit, 2 shirts.
1 suit, 2 shirts, 2 ties.
There you go.
That's the kind of guy I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And did you enjoy watching it?
It was good to see it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a pretty visible part, even though I only have 5 lines.
Right. But I've actually seen you in trailers.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in the trailers,
I haven't seen the
too.
Show yet, but I've seen the trailers, and because you're sitting up, you know, with the great Alfred Molina.
Yes, I am.
Right next to him, I believe. Right?
And also next to Oscar Isaac.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you were next to Oscar Isaac.
Oh, man, I'm in there, yeah.
It's like a sweet 3-way.
Yeah, but, you know, whenever I see myself in anything, I go through a bit of a crisis, and it takes me a while to be able to see anything but how disgusting I look to myself. So you're going to have to ask me in a few weeks maybe how I feel about it.
So when you look at yourself in that crazy early 80s garb that you're wearing, verging on leisure suit, I would imagine, what are you saying to yourself?
I'm saying, why is that fat pig blinking so much? Is basically what I'm saying.
Okay. I think that's a reasonable self-critique.
Yeah, and that is probably the same critique I've given myself on everything I've seen myself
like
in.
Even going back 20 years ago.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah.
Before you even like had a paunch or anything like that.
Yeah. Whenever I see myself on anything, I basically think that I'm, you know, must be epileptic or something. I'm blinking so much.
Maybe you should do something about that. You know, when I talk to you, when I see you here in front of me, you're not blinking. I feel like right now you're blinking a lot because now you're self-conscious because
now
you're thinking about it.
Now you're paying
attention. Right? Is that what it is?
I always blink this much. Yeah. Even when I had my eyes checked, I was told I have dry eyes.
Oh, so you're blinking to keep them moist.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know. It's a birth defect, maybe.
Is that as my grandmother would say, if that's the worst that it is, you're doing okay.
But we're not here this week to talk about my birth defects, Josh.
No, we're
we?
Not. Although, you know, maybe we could figure out a way to get rich off of those in another episode.
Sure. Yeah, I could be in like a circus freak show or something.
No, today is, I find a pretty interesting topic.
Yes.
For a lot of reasons. I won't enumerate them.
Okay, I'm going to say this may be the original get-rich-quick scheme.
Yeah, absolutely.
a time-honored technique.
For sure.
So, this week we're going to talk to you guys about alchemy.
Boom.
Boom.
There it is. Alchemy.
Yeah. So, Josh, what when you think of alchemy, what do you think of?
Well, the first thing that always pops to mind with alchemy is turning lead into gold.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Right? And that's, but it's so much more than that, which I never knew because I just looked at, I thought alchemy, oh, this dead, made-up quackery nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you go back to its origins, I mean, its origins go way back to the Greeks, but when you go to when it was most heavily practiced in medieval times, it was actually the science. I mean, it was the precursor to chemistry.
Yeah.
Precursor to psychology in many ways.
To many things, yeah.
Yeah. It was, you know, they were the first to, through Democritus, I believe, came with the idea of atoms and density of atoms coming together to create forms. But they just genuinely believed that they could change these forms at will.
Yeah.
All they needed to figure out was a universal solvent.
Yes.
Right? So they searched the search. There were three sort of main things that they searched for. And that was a universal solvent,
mm-hmm.
right? Which in the process of trying to discover this universal solvent, they used many solvents, acid-based solvents that we use today for so many things.
Mm-hmm.
So universal solvent, which would break things down to allow them to be rebuilt up in the image that the alchemist desired.
Okay.
The search for the perfect form. And what was interesting to me about that, this idea of lead to gold wasn't about getting rich so much, but it would, in their mind, gold was the perfect form of rock.
Okay.
Right? Or of minerals. And so they believe that within every mineral is this perfect form that needs to come out, and that perfect form is gold.
Okay.
So if they can break these things down, they can then reform it into the perfect mineral.
Yeah. Right? Third.
And the third, which is the most epic one, is the Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what you think of when you think of alchemy?
Now it is.
After spending a couple of days on Wikipedia, yep, maybe?
Exactly. After I actually downloaded, you know, it's fun. My new form of research has started this week, and what it is I go on Kindle and I download free books on the subject.
Okay.
Because free books on the subject are generally real fucking whacked out people.
There's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, just writing their craziness and, you know, there's some crazy people out there. I mean, the hardest part about it is trying to muck through it to find anything. There was one book on alchemy that I got through the first 10 pages, but they wrote it entirely. It was written 10 years ago, but it was written entirely in ye olde English.
Yeah.
And, you know, phrase-wise and everything, as if they were actually an alchemist explaining alchemy to you.
Yeah. You know, when I think of alchemy, I always think of, like, Gargamel.
That, it's funny. I never thought of Gargamel as an alchemist.
Oh, that's exactly what he is.
Yeah, no, it's true. They were all considered witches, warlocks, back in the day. I mean, they were shut down by the religioso for their practices, for practicing witchcraft. And so you think of Gargamel.
Yeah, that's usually, yeah.
Uh-huh. And what did he ever, what was his deal with the Smurfs?
I think he, like, made them or something. I don't, you know what? I was a little old for Smurfs when they came out.
Mm-hmm.
So I poo-pooed on the Smurfs.
But you would have no problem being in a Smurfs movie.
Oh, no, sure.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, pay me, people.
That's right.
Please.
In fact, you should be a Smurf. Be Noel Smurf. Improv Smurf.
Yeah.
Put you in the little pants and the hat and paint you all blue and have you out there improving.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like dignity personified.
In Times Square with the naked body paint people.
Yeah. So back to, like, the definition of alchemy. It is trying to change lead into gold or base metals into noble metals.
Right.
Gold or silver. Silver. Also an elixir of life.
Right. That's the philosopher's
would
stone.
Confer youth and longevity.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And it was outlawed in the 1720s.
Right.
So not that long ago, really, when you think about it.
No, and they were outlawed because?
Because it was quack science and regular science was popping up.
Is that why it was outlawed? Yeah. I was under the impression it was more outlawed because it was anti-religion.
No. From what I read, at least, the opposite. It was outlawed because it was hermetic science.
Right.
Which means almost like a holistic science that mm-hmm. mixes spirituality in with...
Right, but it was a different kind of spirituality than Christian spirituality.
I don't know, I guess, yeah.
I think it was. It was because the hermetic philosophy, Hermes the Trice or whatever his name was, he was around, he was pre-Christian.
Okay, but then it went beyond that, so I'm sure the practice changed along right. with it.
But I wonder if it was almost more like, you know, in the minds of the Catholic Church or whatever Christian church was in power at that point, was it was like voodoo. You know what I mean? It was a mixture of ritual.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure it was.
And they don't cotton to that.
They don't cotton to that.
No cotton here, my friend.
That's right. And I don't know if you know this, but now the modern equivalent, do you know this, of what alchemy is? It's an actual science.
Yeah, it's some kind of chemistry, but I don't know it off the top of my
head. It's called nuclear transmutation.
Really?
Yes, and it is the changing of matter to another piece of matter.
Well, there you go. That is alchemy.
Yeah.
That's what they were shooting for.
Do you know what it's mainly used for?
No.
To try to get rid of radioactive waste and reduce the half-lives of radioactive waste. But it is alchemy.
Uh-huh. Right, because they're, well, yeah, because they're trying to, they're changing the structure.
Yeah.
Which is what alchemy is.
Yeah, and they have changed lead into gold.
Have they?
Yep.
And
it took so much power to do so
that the amount of gold they got wasn't worth it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I would imagine it would make the old alchemists so happy.
Oh, I'm sure.
If it actually managed to be done.
Yeah.
Did they actually change it into gold? Like, was it the exact same weight or amount of lead turned into the exact same amount of gold? Do you get what I'm saying? Or was it like the gold that was within, you know, buried deep within that piece of lead?
No. It was actually changing the matter into gold.
Wow.
Which they can do by adding electrons and protons and
right.
stuff like that.
Huh.
Yeah.
So it's almost like cubic zirconia.
It, basically, yeah. Been there, done
gold.
That. Yeah.
Those alchemists, they were so ahead of their time.
They're everywhere.
Right? Now they're all coming back. There's a whole, if you just Google alchemy, modern alchemy, there's a whole host of alchemists out there. There's guys who claim to have dragon's blood. There's this stuff called Ormus that's out there that they claim is the philosopher's stone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the elixir of life. It's this guy found it in Arizona in like the mid-70s, found it on his ranch, and brought it to scientists, and they broke it down, and they couldn't figure out what it was made of.
Yeah. You know, for people that don't know what the Philosopher's Stone is, it was a mythical substance that had magical properties, and it could change base metals into gold or silver, could heal all forms of illness, and prolong the life of any person who consumes it. And it could create perpetually burning lamps. Change
that was
common
important
crystals.
Back then.
Yeah, oh yeah, it was. Could change common crystals into stones and diamonds, mm-hmm. precious stones and diamonds. And it could revive dead plants.
Mm-hmm.
And it could create flexible or malleable glass. And you could create clones with it, which is, I think, where Gargamel comes in.
I didn't know you could create clones from it.
Oh yeah, this stuff was.
It was everything.
Shiznit, yeah.
It really was everything.
Yeah.
So you can buy Ormus on the internet now. And it will give you, it's the Philosopher's Stone. It will, if you put it in, David Wolf, I don't know if you know the completely insane nutrition expert, David Wolf, He is running tests with it all over plants that he's growing in his garden, and claiming that the plants are growing three times as fast and three times as large and three to five times the amount of enzymatic properties of life-giving force.
Okay. That happens if you put nitrogen on plants too, though.
Sure, sure, yeah. There is a thought that this Ormus that they're all saying is a wonder thing is a type of assault.
Okay.
Really.
All right.
In fact, I believe the scientist that actually took it and broke it down and tested it was like, yeah, this is just a combination of salts.
That guy was probably just like, oh, I can't find it today. I don't know where I put my Ormus. You know, it was just right here.
But you can buy it on the interweb and it will... change your alpha waves. It will put you in an alpha state, which is always the most important thing for people who believe in that kind of stuff. You're open. You're open to the energies that come through our earth when you're in your alpha state, when the deeper into your alpha state you are.
Okay.
It will give you the organs, even though your exterior may look like that of a 60-year-old man, if you're a 60-year-old man, or in my case, a 45-year-old man who looks like a 60-year-old man. But your interior, you will have the breathing capacity, the heart capacity of a teenage athlete.
Okay.
So that's just a couple of things that Ormus will do for you. So, again, they haven't said that it will clone you, though.
All right. Well, maybe this is not the Philosopher's Stone, then.
It may not be, but it may be as close as we get.
What? How much does Ormus cost, you know?
Usually like $19.99 for a bottle of 20 or 30.
I'm just going to ballpark this. Oh, it's a pill.
Yeah, you can buy it in a pill form or a powder form.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's being packaged and sold. You can find it in, you know, basic any. If you just do a search for Ormus, O-R-M-U-S, you will find it in every naturopath site around.
Really?
And they will sing its praises to you. Sing its praises. But, you know... For some reason, they won't allow it to really be tested. You just have to take their word for it.
Do you take any supplements?
I do not, now that I think about it. I used to. I went through a period where I was like heavy into juicing.
Okay.
And with the juicing, I was also taking, what was I taking? I was taking curcumin, which is a turmeric extract for inflammation. I was all about anti-inflammation. I was convinced that... all of my issues were inflammatory responses to my diet.
Your emotional issues.
Yeah, those two. Yep, exactly. So I was doing, it was a heavy anti-inflammatory diet. But I did not take Ormus. Had I known I just needed to take Ormus, I would have just taken Ormus.
Yeah. I used to take a lot of vitamins. And then I cut them out, and I was all right. And then I got... sick a whole bunch of times 1 year. And I was like...
Was this after you cut him out?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was like, I need to start taking something again. So I got that, you know, those like green multinutrients?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a powder, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's got all your vitamins, and then it's got a whole bunch of probiotics and stuff like that. And a bunch of just like nutrients. So I started
just
taking...
a bunch of nutrients.
Well, yeah.
Fucking some guy just shoveling nutrients in a bucket.
Yep. So I started taking that 1 year, and then I didn't get sick for a whole year after having been sick so many times. So I was like, oh, this stuff's great. And then I got out of the habit of getting that. But just this week, I ordered something from a health food site, deodorant. I've got a weird thing about deodorant that I can't have chemicals in it. And... if you had spent a certain amount, you'd get free delivery. So I got more of this green stuff. So I'm back on the green stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
Have you gotten it? Are you back on it right
now?
I'm back
on
it.
I'm 3 days on.
And how are you feeling? Do you feel different when you're on the green stuff?
No, it's not like a sudden thing.
Right. But I mean, over time, do you feel different? Do you start to feel like you have more energy? You don't change your diet at all, right? You just add the green stuff.
Just add the green stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like crack that. I mean, not crack. It's really more like speed, I feel like. They're just pumping you full of B12 and stuff like that.
I think the vitamins are, but I don't think this green stuff does it. You don't feel, you don't take it and feel
something.
Is it
something like blue-green algae, the green stuff?
It's got that in it. Yeah. It's got so much. It tastes like...
powdered kale.
It's got that. It's got everything.
Yeah, it tastes horrible.
It tastes
by
like
itself.
Lawn clippings.
Right.
It really does. It's it's horrific tasting.
But dried lawn clippings.
Yeah.
That have been sitting around for a while.
They then mixed in with water and slug back.
Have you ever done any sort of big diety kind of thing? Like where you've like completely changed your diet to something completely different for health reasons or any reason other than that?
No.
I've gone through several phases of that. My mother was the master of that. You know, she was a Jewish American princess from New Rochelle, New York, and her entire life was wrapped around weight.
Really?
Yeah. My grandmother was fucking nuts over it. I mean, my grandmothers would eat two meals a day. In the morning, it was a half a grapefruit with sweet and low, and grapefruit is a natural diuretic. And then in the evening, she would have like five bites of whatever she had made for dinner. And that was it.
Oh, wow.
She was insane about weight. And of course, that craziness just completely passed on to my mother. She got my mother hooked on speed when she was 13 years old.
Oh, really?
My mother was a little chubby when she was 13. Not like fat, but, you know, she had some a little weight on her. Nothing major, maybe 10, 15 pounds overweight. Made my grandmother crazy, and this was the 50s, and so she took her to a diet doctor, and that is what diet pills were back then.
Yeah.
It was speed. They gave you amphetamines.
Well, I think a lot of the stuff that you can see on TV and stuff is still that.
Variations on it.
Yeah.
For sure. But
and you know, a lot of the more fly-by-night supplements and stuff that you'll see, if you look at the ingredients, it's like, oh, great, look at these great vitamins. But what's not listed, if you have to look to see what the binding ingredients are,
oh.
And the binding ingredients are like caffeine.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. And that ends up being a huge portion of the vitamin, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Right? Because the actual amount, you know, 1,000 micrograms of something is not that much.
I would not think so. It says micro
right,
in the name.
Well, there you go. And yet you see these horse pill vitamins and horse pill supplements
yep.
that
are bound by caffeine.
With caffeine. Huh, that's really interesting. See, I learn something new from you every day.
There you go.
Whether it's true or not.
That is true.
100%?
100%.
Okay, I'm going to start looking at my vitamins.
Yeah, you should.
Next time I go to GNC. GRQ at GNC.
Yeah.
On RFB.
Yeah, you know, my diets
uh-huh.
tend to be like, I'm gross. I need to stop eating like a pig and maybe go to the gym a little more.
Uh-huh.
That's really right. The extent of my diet.
Which is the way they should be.
Well, you know. I probably would be a little svelter if I actually had a diet.
Yeah, but that's because you are a man of a certain age now.
Well, sure.
You know, that paunch starts to just, the dad bod kicks in hard.
You know what? We lucked out hitting our age when suddenly dad bod's like a thing people are saying is a good thing.
Apparently, it's considered a hot thing.
Yeah.
The dad bod, I don't buy that for a fucking second. Like, that is one of those desperate things that, you know, some online magazine needed to come up with. Like, what's the new trend in men's fitness or lack thereof?
No,
the
dad bod. Dad bod. I believe it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
and it's I feel like it's the first time in our life that we've hit the sweet spot in that way. You know, we missed the sexual revolution.
Right.
Not only did we miss sexual revolution, but
we were right in the heart of the AIDS
we came of yeah. of sexual being age at about yeah right
yeah,
when
right.
AIDS hit
yeah yeah the, you know to our parents condoms were not something you used
yeah
you know. I mean, other forms of birth control, but condoms, no. But you know, we had to use them.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
You were gonna get dead.
I wonder if you could use some philosopher's stone for contraception.
Just sprinkle it all over,
yeah.
Or would you
end up with clones?
That would be fantastic. That would be the best way to clone.
Yeah.
That would be the best way to clone. Actually, just sprinkle some Philosopher's Stone on your Willard
mm-hmm.
and go to town. Just little U's popping out all over the place.
Oh, yeah. You know what I think is an odd element about alchemy,
uh-huh.
amongst the fact that it's alchemy,
mm-hmm.
is So when you look at all the things that this Philosopher's Stone and alchemy is supposed to be able to do,
right,
it just reads like total get-rich-quick scheme.
The entire thing, yeah. But the interesting thing is these guys were not necessarily about getting rich.
No.
They were really about the discovery.
Yes.
I mean, they were genuinely scientists in that respect.
Yeah.
It was about learning. I mean, they were obviously off the mark because all they had was the observable, right? Yeah. But they were, that was it. They were focused. That's what they were focused on.
Yeah. And the symbol for the Philosopher's Stone is a circle
mm-hmm.
with a triangle inside it.
Mm-hmm.
And then a square inside that,
mm-hmm.
and a circle inside that. And each of those shapes stands for a different form of learning. And so to be able to discover the Philosopher's Stone, you're supposed to like become a master at math, become a master of science, become... Mm-hmm. A master of your spirituality, mm-hmm. have a, you know, in great health, you exercise all the time. You like.
Oh, did they have to exercise all the time?
It's all about every aspect of yourself.
Being perfection.
Being perfection. And then you'll get this get rich quick thing, which is like almost like such an old school way of like, you know, kids. Stay in school and don't smoke right. dope.
Exactly. You know? Exercise your brain and your body.
Yeah, and you'll get rich quick.
Uh-huh. And you'll get rich quick.
If you just devote your whole life to being perfect.
Didn't you? Do you remember, what was the guy's name? He was a football player, quarterback. He'd been drafted by the...
If it is a football player?
You know nothing about
it. I guarantee you I don't know. Yeah.
He was, from a very young age, his father was a trainer.
Oh, football guy, yeah.
Yeah, and his father was a trainer for a football team,
mm-hmm.
and he raised his son to be the perfect athlete from a very young age. He started him like with the goal that he was going to be a quarterback. I mean, this guy, he ran his nutrition straight through. I mean, he trained his son like his like he was a machine.
Yeah, and that right? guy and turned the kid, to be a mass murderer?
He imploded, yeah. You know, coke and freaking out. And
of
he
course.
Was not that good a football player. I mean, he did get drafted. He ended up on it, but he just couldn't handle it. He completely imploded. But, you know, that's the problem because they didn't do the rest of it.
Yeah.
He only did the perfection of the body. It seems to me to achieve perfection in all of those areas is more than a lifetime.
Yeah. I was raised... basically,
a poor black child.
I was raised a poor black child. No, I was raised not at all to achieve perfection.
Uh-huh.
And I think through that, it has messed up my idea of what perfection is so much that I may have achieved it just by not knowing what it is.
You've perfected imperfection.
Well, or at least I don't understand what perfection is. And yeah. I can imagine that I'm perfect.
Right. Well, you know, one thing I will say about alchemists is they were very broad in their definitions of sort of perfection with certain things.
Yeah.
Because for them, again, the idea was is that with everything, there was a perfect state.
Yeah.
But it didn't necessarily need to look all the same. And it was just about sort of achieving that perfect state,
mm-hmm.
whatever that may be for you, I think. It's, you know, you can get into sort of the meta of, you know, what is perfect for you as an individual, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what one of the things they were going for there.
Sure, sure.
Sure, why not?
I also feel like all that promise of the goodie bag at the end of the road
uh-huh.
is also an old school version of the 40 virgins in heaven.
Yeah,
for
40 virgins in heaven, or, you know, you'll be able to turn lead into gold.
Yeah.
Or clone yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah, dangling that carrot.
Yeah.
Putting the carrot in front of the horse.
Yeah, lamps that never go out.
That one is the best one, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know how get rich we'd get on that one.
A lamp that never goes out?
Yeah. I guess if you sort of transmute that into modern day sort of endless energy,
yeah,
you know, boundless energy, that you don't, that doesn't affect the planet in any way, shape, or form.
Well, you know, this just occurred to me right here. You are of
Hebraic descent.
Of Hebraic descent.
Uh-huh. 8 days.
Isn't that what Hanukkah is?
No.
It's a candle that never went out, right?
No, it's lamps that did go out, but what was supposed to be 1 day's worth of oil lasted 8 days. That's why Hanukkah lasts 8 days. But okay. It did eventually go out.
But they were on the track.
They were on the track.
To lamps that never grow out.
But that was straight through God. They didn't do anything to do that. They didn't find the Sorcerer's Stone. Their Sorcerer's Stone was prayer. I imagine.
All right.
Or the hand of God in some fashion.
They cheated, is what you're saying.
You get to the finish point any way you get to the finish point.
All right.
You know, that worked for them. I think one thing we should know by now is that there are no hard, fast rules.
No, there are not.
One thing we've learned in just the short...
Or there's very few.
Right.
Don't touch kids.
I'm talking about getting your goal. I mean, if your goal is to touch kids, then I guess you have to touch kids.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you should. I'm not going
there. As they say in success books or whatever, you need to move the goalpost if that's your goal. You know?
Uh-huh.
Because that's not a very good goal, guys.
I'm not suggesting that anyone go out there and do that. I'm just saying if that is your goal, then you have to... And on that, it's sort of a kind of a good segue into the Get Rich Quick tip of the week.
Brought to you by Radio Free Brooklyn.
We have a great tip of the week from a life coach on YouTube who goes by the name of Low Carb Cody.
Okay.
and this is kind of sort of about the idea of what is money.
Yeah, so if you only have like 2 minutes, listen to the Get Rich Quick tip of the week and make some millions off that and come back later, make more millions off the rest of the show. But here's just another little gold nugget worth tossing your way, made of lead.
Money is neither good nor evil in and of itself. As a matter of fact, there is nothing in this world which is inherently good or evil. What is good and or what is evil is completely in the mind of the beholder. I'll give you an example. Murder. Now, most people, if asked, would tell you that murder is bad. But what if you had to murder someone to save the life of a loved one? Would it still be bad then? Now, I can already hear you saying, well, in that case, it wouldn't be murder. It would be like self-defense. But here's the thing. It's killing either way. So what we have now is a situation where you are essentially forced to admit that the act of killing, of murdering, can be either good or bad, depending on the situation. Why should money be any different? It isn't.
There you go. Yeah. Money is no different than murder.
Basically, yeah.
And that's what I got from that.
That sounds to me like it was brought to us by Napoleon Dynamite, too.
Right? No, this is an actual guy. He believes he's a gold mine.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be getting a lot of tips from Low Carb Cody. I'm just letting you know that right now.
Josh's new best friend, guys.
Gold mine. but it does feed very much into what we were just talking about, you know, that is there really any kind of hard, fast rules, right or wrong, to getting rich, at least in our world? And there kind of isn't. We're making the rules up as we go along. We're just throwing stuff out there for people to take, and they can cobble things together.
Yeah.
If you listen to all of our episodes, there's some little themes that sort of pop in and pop out, which probably because they are proven get-rich-quick things.
Yeah.
Items.
Things.
Things. Sound like someone who doesn't know how to speak, which sometimes I am.
Yeah.
He says it very clearly.
Very clearly. Very well pronounced.
Yeah.
That guy. I'm a fan of, what's his name? Low Carb what?
Low Carb Cody.
Okay, we know where he stands on the diet.
Just going to say, exactly. There are no, you know, he is. Imagine calling up your life coach like, oh, man, I need a life coach. Going through the yellow pages and plopping on Low Carb Cody, that's the guy I'm going to call as my life coach.
Yeah. Well, it's better than calling up try not to masturbate quite so much, Fred.
Hi, Fat Tilly.
Yeah.
try not to masturbate quite so much. Oh, wow.
Well, yeah. You know, so we still have not yet gotten to any ways to get rich quick with alchemy. We've only proven that these people spent their lives and generations of lives trying to get rich quick.
Right.
And never achieved it. So have you come up with any ways to get rich quick with alchemy?
Well, I mean, I think there are a few that came to mind. I mean, the obvious one is now the people who reached a certain level of perfection claim and still claim there are alchemists out there who claim that they can turn lead into gold.
Mm-hmm.
But part of the in the world of alchemy,
mm-hmm.
you're not allowed to give away these secrets. When you discover them, you can't tell anyone how you do it. Everyone, it's part of the method of self-discovery, as it were.
Uh-huh.
So that right there is, I mean, it's happening in people's lifetime. And the thing is, alchemists today aren't starting off like alchemists of yesteryear, where they're starting at 6 years old, shoveling coal for the alchemists and learning from that age.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, things are accelerated. You know what I mean? These guys are 50, 60 years old, and they're figuring out how to do it. So maybe in a 20-year period of time, they're figuring it out. Well, that's not quick. Once you're there, I mean, you got gold, right? I mean,
yeah,
is I mean, I mean, certainly Glenn Beck would say you were as rich as they come.
Yeah, you know, in the nuclear transmutation
mm-hmm.
stuff they had read, they actually commented on how ironic it is. Because of the nature of what you're actually doing, adding and removing protons and electrons to change that matter,
mm-hmm.
it is like multiples easier to change gold into lead than to change lead into gold.
Really?
Yeah. Just because of the nature of the bonds and stuff like that.
Huh.
So maybe these guys are going the wrong direction.
Clearly. Maybe lead is the perfection.
Yeah.
Maybe lead is the perfection.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but obviously lead was everywhere. Gold was not.
Well, yeah, sure.
Lead wasn't worth a whole lot.
If people decided it was.
That's true.
If you had made a lead currency.
Yeah, why not?
Then you would have been a rich man.
You would have been.
You know, I have one theory about getting rich quick with alchemy.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, so for centuries,
mm-hmm.
gold was considered the most valuable thing.
Right.
And they spent time trying to take base metals and turn them into gold,
mm-hmm.
which was money.
Mm-hmm.
In 1971, we went off the gold standard and we untethered our currency from gold.
Right.
Right? So I think we're being too literal to now stick to, we need to try to change worthless things into gold, per se.
When we should be turning worthless things like plain white paper
yeah.
into cash money.
Into cash money, yeah. So, I think a perfect example of very, very successful modern day alchemy
mm-hmm.
is... It was all over the media very recently
uh-huh.
of Whole Foods
uh-huh.
taking water,
uh-huh.
a relatively, not worthless, but extremely cheap substance.
Certainly free.
Yes. And putting a few pieces of asparagus
uh-huh.
in it and charging $6 a bottle for asparagus
uh-huh.
water.
Uh-huh.
That is modern day alchemy.
It is.
So out there for all of us, we just have to find a way to combine some very
mundane, everyday
yes.
thing
yes.
and elevate it.
Yeah.
Right?
So
using the theories of alchemy, finding its perfectness, creating a more perfect state
yeah.
of this item,
yeah.
whatever it is. So take the most mundane item. That's kind of what, isn't that kind of what Etsy's all about?
It is. It's also what I feel like half of Brooklyn's all about.
Well, exactly, which is Etsy, basically. Right? But it's taking the most mundane item, throwing some shit on it, some baubles on it, pardon me, I don't mean baubles, but putting a few spears of asparagus on it, essentially, and then reselling it at a much higher cost as an artisanal item.
Yeah, so, yeah, for instance, you could take, this is a freebie out there for anyone, just came to me, you could take some chocolate pudding, put it in a mason jar, and tie a twine bow around it, sell it for $8.
And call it Hell-O.
You could call it that, I guess, if you want. Yeah, you call it whatever you want. But something rustic, you want to call it. And it's artisanal chocolate pudding.
Bushwick pudding.
Bushwick pudding, yeah.
Pudschwick.
Yeah, Bushwick mud.
Bushwick mud.
Yeah. Made the old school Bushwick way out of a box of Jell-O pudding. But the old kind that you used to have to actually heat on the stove.
That's right. You had to cook it. You had to take some time and put some of yourself into it. A little of your sweat drips off in it. A little bit of the actual sweat of the artisanal maker.
Yeah, what grandma used to make.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Because we're all old enough now that our grandmas weren't making stuff from scratch.
No, my grandmother was not.
So that is my get-rich-quick idea for alchemy. Because, to stick with, you need to transform something into gold. It's like, fundamentalist.
Right. No, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, you need to open up your mind to transformation.
Yes.
And how the transformation works.
Yes.
I mean, that being said, the same thing can be said about a copy machine. The height of alchemical, you can take an actual dollar bill.
Okay.
Put it on a copy machine and print your own money.
I was always told, and I don't know if this is true,
mm-hmm.
but it's one of those rumors of paranoia rumors that copy machines, since a certain date, color copiers have in them something blocking them from copying money correctly.
I don't know if that's true about the copiers themselves. When they changed the when color copiers came out, people were doing it left and right.
Yeah,
and it had kind of become a weird problem. Not most people figured it out, but a lot of places it was like they'd be handed this thing. Someone did a pretty good job with it, and there was sort of like homemade counterfeiting going on with that. That was when they started changing the bills around.
Yeah.
So now if you the way a copier works, where it flashes the light to copy, you see all of the things in it. So when you try to copy a bill now, you'll see all like the lines that you're not supposed to see in it. So it will never look like an actual bill. But I think I didn't know they did this with copiers themselves. I'd never heard that. But with the old bills, which I actually got an old 20 once, and it's funny how your brain just sort of switches over. When you see the new bills, you're like, oh, they're so exciting, and then become old hat. And then you see one of the old ones, and you're like, oh, shit, I forgot all about these.
You know what I got the other day? Okay, go with your story.
No. That was it.
Oh, okay. I got a $2 bill the other day in my change.
The place where Deb and I used to work, the bar that we met at, there used to be a guy who'd come in and tip with $2 bills, and he would keep a wad of $2 bills in his pocket just to tip with, and he would always tip us in $2 bills.
If you're going to counterfeit, $2 bills is probably the best thing because no one's familiar with them. Yeah.
I wonder, I haven't seen a $2 bill. I don't know if they're even still printing them anymore.
No, they're not.
A while. So they're all going to be the old bills that are moving around there.
So theoretically, I should have kept my hands on that. I didn't. I spent it as quick as I could because I thought I'm just going to give it to someone thinking it's a one otherwise. So I'm going to, as soon as I can, spend it so I don't forget it that I have a $2 bill in my wallet.
There was an ice cream cart in St. Thomas when they introduced the Susan B. Anthony dollar. There was an ice cream cart down there that used to insist to all the kids when they'd pay with the Susan B. Anthony that we were giving him a quarter, that we owed him more money. And we found out later on that it was all a scam. He was just stealing from the kids.
Yeah.
Which was terrible. You'd be like, but I gave you a dollar. And he's like, no, you gave me a quarter. And then he'd show you a quarter.
Yeah.
And be like, no, and he'd insist that you gave him a quarter. And then he did this like hundreds of times.
Do you remember when ice cream men used to be a noble profession?
I don't know if it was ever a noble profession?
I don't think so. When I grew up, it seemed like the ice cream guys who would always be on the bicycle things, actually.
Right.
They were just like, burnout teenagers. And they'd like get mad at the kids and chase them around, and yeah.
They would chase them around.
Yeah.
They would chase you around.
Yeah, that happened several times.
What did you guys do that would cause them to chase you around?
I don't remember at all. I'm sure we just did kid like, nah, you're the Dickie D guy. You know, like that's what they were. I grew up in London, Ontario, and they were Dickie D.
Dickie D? Was that their version of Good Humor?
Yes. Yeah.
They have all the different pops and all the variety.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Same thing, you know, like Rocket Pops and Creamsicles and things like that.
Just Dickie D.
Dickie D's, yeah.
They didn't make it down here. Tim Hortons has made it down here.
It has.
Very popular. Do you go there?
No.
Do you prefer Tim Hortons to Dunkin'?
No.
You don't care.
I don't. You know what? I don't like...
you don't like anything Canadian anymore, do
no,
you?
No, I do. I do. But I like real strong-tasting coffee, you know? And like Dunkin' Donuts, Tim Hortons kind of the same style of coffee as Dunkin' Donuts, which is, in my opinion, modeled after deli coffee.
You think it's modeled after
deli
coffee?
You know
coffee.
What I mean. It's the same type of thing, yeah, as opposed to, not that I like to go to Starbucks necessarily, but I'd rather go to Starbucks than Dunkin' Donuts. But that is more like a coffee shop coffee of a strong coffee, and I like that. I like it strong.
I bet you do.
You know what I'm talking about, there, Josh.
Dynamo of Luciferian energy. I like my coffee like I like my women.
Mm-hmm.
Dynamos of Luciferian energy.
Exactly. Hot and spilled on my lap.
What other ways do you think we can make money with alchemy? I mean, I think those are to me, I think yours is actually probably the ultimate way to make money with alchemy in today's day and age. I can't, you know, obviously they're trying to make money with the Ormus, but it's just not taking off like they believe. Because eventually those things, you know, the people who buy into that kind of stuff will claim that they feel it because they have, you know, from the placebo effect, essentially.
Yeah.
But, you know, you only really start making money when the general populace or someplace like Whole Foods picks up on it and convinces everyone that it's good for them.
Yeah.
And then they start taking it and the placebo effect takes in with them. So I guess if you could market to Whole Foods this idea of these bath salts are healthy for you
bath
to ingest.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe this is, what was that guy's name in Florida? Popo?
Popo?
Was it? I think it was Popo.
Popo? The guy who ate the other guy's face while on bath salts?
Yeah.
His name was Popo?
I think his name was Popo.
His name was Popo.
Which then they said later, it wasn't
bath
salts.
It wasn't bath salts. He was just fucking crazy.
It may have been bath salts, in my opinion. Because that stuff
because of your inside info?
My inside info says that the whole thing about bath salts is they were just always messing with the chemical formula.
Yeah, well, because they have to.
Yeah, so if you're testing for one thing, it might be something different.
Speaking of alchemy, that's talk about looking for... that's another kind of... new way to think about alchemy when you're looking to perfect something. So these new drugs that they're creating that aren't illegal yet, that are generally manufactured in China, but you know are being made in you know by real scientists around the world to try to create these essentially legal highs that but doing it all chemically, so they're not using actual THC, they're not using this, they're not using that. And then as they become illegal, right, they get the laws passing, this combination is illegal, da-da-da, they just change it a little bit. So you get things like bath salts.
Yeah.
You get like Chronic Comet.
Yeah.
When you go into any bodega, you can find
Crocodile. Do you remember that one?
Crocodile.
That was the one that started eating your flesh, right?
But that was, that's the one that was like for heroin addicts who couldn't find a fix.
Oh.
But there was some illegal drug mixed in with it. It was like, it was a weird cut. They were injecting, I believe, crocodile, because it started in Russia, and it had kerosene in it. Like it was kerosene mixed with heroin.
Oh, wow.
And it was a way to get super high with the least amount of heroin possible. And so then what would happen is the flesh would start to eat away.
Okay.
And I remember I got really I got transfixed with the idea of crocodile. And I started looking at pictures of people who had been, and I mean, like, to the bone, man.
Yeah.
Like, massive open wounds from, like, the knee to the ankle. And they're still alive, and they have to live like that for the rest of their lives. It's, oh, God. It's just, there was a guy who used to hang out by the L train who had that.
Mm-hmm.
He had this, like, and he'd had this filthy bandage that he'd have wrapped around it, and he'd be begging for money, and periodically he'd pull the bandage away, and it was just raw, open wound, and you could see, like, fat, and but it wasn't bleeding.
Yeah,
it was just this open wound.
I hate seeing it.
It was horrifying.
Yeah. So if you're going to try and get rich quick, you should probably do it in the manufacturing and selling of crocodile,
right.
not in the doing of it.
But, and again, creating a new drug, you know, I mean, it does require a certain amount of chemistry background, but
or
so does
you
alchemy.
Or you could just combine things
randomly. Yeah, you know, you just need to find someone to test them on.
Josh, do we have this week a Stump the Trump?
We do have a Stump the Trump. I'm going to let you decide whether this fits the bill.
Okay.
Obviously, I was hard-pressed to find Donald Trump talking about alchemy in any way, shape, or form. But since we did talk about alchemy as sort of a precursor to the modern sciences, I do have Donald Trump talking a little science for you.
So brought to you by Radio Free Brooklyn, guys, we have Stump the Trump, a searched-out quote from Donald Trump, which hits our topic on the head because he's a master of all things money.
There you go. Here we go.
Nation.
Hello, Michael.
Glad to see you a few weeks ago in Florida at the great Mar-a-Lago. It was a pleasure. Well, I only go to Florida once a year, and I went, and it was so hot, I had to leave. I can't take the humidity. And speaking of hot, you want to talk about the hot air emanating from the academic establishments about global warming. Isn't that true?
Well, it's a big hoax. I mean, I believe that there's a certain climate change. It gets a little warmer, it gets a little cooler over hundreds and hundreds and even millions of years. But, you know, the problem is it's costing us a fortune because we're redoing all our factories. China's not doing that. India's not doing that. They laugh at our stupidity. And by the way, if you notice, Michael, they also changed the name. It used to be called 3 years ago, global warming.
Right.
And we're having this freezing temperature, so now they call it climate change. So whenever you call it global warming, they always say, oh, it's not global warming, it's climate change, it's climate change. Because climate change works, you know, climate change sort of works. But global warming is really what they meant.
And that's a renowned climatologist, scientist, Donald Trump, telling you that global warming is a hoax.
Okay, and that has to do with alchemy by?
Again, science. it's a hard one. It's hard to find Donald Trump talking about alchemy.
Okay, that's true.
You know, it's like finding a third grader talking about alchemy.
Yeah, it is.
I already may have come to the end of, I mean, I will continue. Don't worry.
Okay.
But, you know, I thought I could find Donald Trump talking about everything. And you know, I had to really stretch the bounds here.
All right. You don't have to apologize. Josh.
I'm not apologizing. I'm just putting it out there. I'm explaining why I use that. I also like Michael Savage. His voice, I don't like him per se, but I like listening to him because his voice reminds me of my cousin Bernie Boom Boom.
Yeah. You know, on the same logic as Donald Trump just had there, too,
mm-hmm.
I had a very solid bowel movement today, so I no longer believe in diarrhea. I think that's a myth.
Uh-huh.
And I clearly had a solid movement.
you transmuted something from the mundane to the perfect.
Oh, I transmuted it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You did.
Yeah. There was Olympics for
uh-huh.
bathroom antics. I would get it.
I don't know. I have a feeling we'd be a close 1-2. I'm not going to say. I mean, I think I'd probably win it. But we're at the time of the show.
We are at that time. So this is the time when we take our topic and our discussion of it and measure it up against randomly picked benchmarks and rules to getting rich quick to see how well we did this week.
Yep.
Do you have any comments about what we're going to be reading?
Well, today's, I think, is a good one because we are looking at the great J. Paul Getty's Rules to Wealth.
Okay. That sounds like a smart guy.
That was a guy. He got rich in a lot of ways.
Okay.
So
brought to you by Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yeah. Let's see how alchemy stacks up
okay.
in the world of J. Paul's Getty's.
All right.
Number one, J. Paul Getty says, be stealthy.
Be stealthy.
I think alchemy is a stealth, was particularly in its time, a stealth science.
Sure, Gargamel was always in hiding.
Always in hiding. He was not good at it.
No.
But he was doing it. He had a cat.
Yeah. That cat's the one who always gave him away.
Oh, kitty cats. So stealthy. Yeah. Number two, separate fact from opinion. Well, that's kind of what a big part of what it was about. It was the search for truth, facts.
Despite logic.
Right. So number two, we get it. Be independent and contrarian.
Yeah. They got to be contrary because they... No, man, I don't care if that's lead.
It's gold. Yeah. When I'm done with it, it'll be gold. So we're 3 for 3 right now. Look abroad for opportunities and learn from mistakes. I think that happened. I mean, they definitely learned from their mistakes.
Yeah.
They were constantly looking to perfect.
Yeah, and you can see further abroad with a never-ending lamp.
Yeah. Yes, you can see all night, even. All right, so we're 4 for 4. And finally, number 5... Be patient and capture hidden quality values. It seems like transmutation led to gold right there.
Yeah, I'm going to still go on record of saying I hate these be patient type rules because we're getting rich
that's
quick.
That's true.
That's a tie. We'll call that one a tie.
All right.
Neither.
How about if we got rid of be patient and just said capture hidden quality values?
Oh, yeah. Then that's exactly what you're
absolutely
doing.
Absolutely nothing at all.
It means you're getting... capturing the gold quality of that lead.
Okay, all right. So 5 for 5. So very clearly, you can get rich with alchemy.
Yeah.
You just got to fucking do it.
Yeah, for centuries.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hey, if you guys want to send us any of your own rules to get rich quick, we will use them to judge our topic against. You can tweet us at GRQ. Josh Knoll.
Or you can email us at grqwithjoshandnoel.
That's right. Or you can go to our Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/grqjoshknoel.
Or you can call Noel on his cell.
No,
you can't do that. Or you can go on Herschel_the_doxador Instagram, and you can look at sweet photos of my dog Herschel.
That's right.
And leave comments about getting rich quick because we're trying to get rich quick on Instagram with my dog.
Yeah. You know, quickly before we go, the last part of my phone number, the last 4 digits, actually do spell Noel.
Did you plan that?
My first cell phone I got, which was, I guess, before cell phones were popular, when they gave it to me, the guy was just like, oh, by the way, you're... phone number's your name. And then when I moved to New York, I paid $50 to get it. And then at that point in time, no one ever said a number again. They just like texted each other and you never had to know a number. But
call me at 866-NOEL.
That was
probably right at the time that like all the phone sex things were going on too. But that's another episode.
That's another episode
of Get
Guys.
Rich Quick with Josh and Noel. For Josh
and Noel,
we thank you for listening to Get Rich Quick right here on Radio Free Brooklyn and on iTunes and Audio Boom and various other places.
Everywhere you can find a podcast.
You can find a podcast and reach out to us. Let us know you're out there.
That's right. Don't spend all that knowledge in one place, guys.
And if you use any of this information to get rich quickly with tithe us 10%.
10%. That's all we ask.
Have a lovely week.
See you guys. Gonna get rich quick.